Dr. John Steffrin, CEO of the American Cancer Society, thanks for joining us on health08.org today.
It's nice to be here.
So looking at our healthcare system, what is currently working well for cancer patients?
Well, unfortunately, not much is working well for cancer patients. The good news is for people who can afford it and have access to the best that our country can offer, the prospects of surviving cancer have never been greater than they are today. So that's the good news. More and more people are surviving. The bad news is more and more people are getting sicker, suffering more, and more likely to die simply because of lack of access to quality cancer care. And so the American Cancer Society has gone on record to saying that lack of access has become a major cancer killer in America. The number's big, and it's getting bigger.
So what is the number one issue then for the American Cancer Society when looking at our healthcare system?
I think we'd have to say that the number one issue is lack of quality health insurance. 47 million people don't have any insurance at all, and millions more are underinsured. So we had a campaign that we did with AARP and other organizations like the Heart Association and Diabetes and Alzheimer's saying, are you covered? Are you sure? Because many, many people who have health insurance get a diagnosis of cancer and find out it's not adequate. So clearly, the lack of access and the lack of proper coverage would be the two biggest problems cancer patients face today.
Now, going to that campaign that you were just talking about, are you covered, are you sure? What was the feedback that you got from people when you were talking to them, whether or not they were sure if they were actually covered?
Well, a physician came up to me on the West Coast and said, what your message is so powerful because I can see myself in it. And we got onto this because we have a call center that's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and people are calling us saying, I've got cancer, I've got insurance, but they won't cover what I need. We looked into it, and sure enough, many, many people can't get the coverage, can't get the care they need because their insurance is inadequate. Either the copays are too high or it won't cover what they need. So we estimate about 100,000 families went bankrupt last year just because of a cancer diagnosis and lack of adequate coverage.
So you've committed $15 million for this campaign, which is your whole advertising budget, is that correct?
That's correct. We decided this was such an important issue that our entire budget for paid advertising went into making the public aware of this terrible problem.
And typically you focused on issues like research and prevention and early diagnosis. So why was it important for you to add this to your portfolio of education?
Well, we found out in other years that when we have campaigns for things like colorectal cancer screening, we could move the needle. We could get more people to be compliant. And when that happened, we saved lives, and we can now document that. What we now see is that more people are dying because of lack of insurance. What we also know is that in our National Cancer Database that we co-founded with the American College of Surgeons 25 years ago, we can track whether a person has insurance or not and their stage of diagnosis and the outcome. And what we have found out is that a woman without health insurance with stage 1 breast cancer is more likely to die than a woman with stage 2 breast cancer with insurance. So we know it's not just the early detection piece, which is very, very important, but it's also the treatments you get depending on what the quality of your health insurance. So we're saying, and through this paid media campaign, that we want everybody to have access to adequate, affordable, available health insurance that's administratively simple, and there's no reason that we know of that couldn't come about if it's made a high enough priority in this nation.
Now, the four words that you just mentioned, the adequate, affordable, available, and administratively simple, are your definition of meaningful health insurance. How did you come up with that definition?
Well, part of our five-prong program was to do a lot of policy analysis, and we determined that the big impediments or barriers can be adequately subsumed under those four A's. So adequate means that, of course, your insurance will get you what you actually need, adequate quality care. Available means that it's actually there when you need it. And, of course, the fact that it's affordable means that the copays and the limits are such that just because it happens to be a big league disease like cancer, it doesn't knock you out of the box of being able to afford it. We have too many people who are cutting the pills in half or not taking the full amount of radiation, or not getting through their chemotherapy simply because of a matter of cost.
And what is standing in the way, then, of achieving these four A's?
Public policy. People don't realize that we're already spending more, much more than twice as much as the next highest spending nation in the world on health care, over $2 trillion per year, $7,000 per person per year. But we have to spend it more intelligently. We've got to make sure that there's more emphasis on prevention and early detection, when, of course, the outcomes are much better and it's less expensive to get treated. So it's not simple. I don't mean to imply it isn't difficult, but it means that we have to set it a high enough priority that we get people what they really need. In America, we have good data to show that the American public wants to overcome cancer more than any other disease. We now know we can, early in this new century, if we do the right things. One of the right things is to make sure people have access to quality care when and where they need it.
Now, you mentioned cost earlier and people splitting their medications in half. There's also an example that you have on your website of a colon cancer treatment that costs $100,000 a year. And let's say your insurance company pays 70% of that. The patient's still left with a $30,000 bill. So what's the problem there? Is it the high cost of treatment? Is it the insurance policy that the person has? Or is it broader than that? And how do you address this issue of cost?
Well, cost is a complicated issue, and as new drugs come forward, they often are priced at such a level that even if the insurance covers it, the copay is extraordinary. I know of a specific instance of a medical oncologist's mother, stage 4 colon cancer, who said, and I could afford it, but why should I spend down my assets that much? This is just not reasonable since essentially, because of where I am, I know I'm not a long-term survivor. So it becomes a complicated issue, but without any question, people are not benefiting from the research that has developed new compounds that can help them. So taxpayers pay into the government. NIH is funded. New drugs are compounds are found and new products are developed. And then, whoops, not everybody has access to them. And we have to look at that very seriously. And until we do, people are going to suffer needlessly and die needlessly.
And do you have examples of ways that have worked in terms of getting people access to that treatment, or when you're sitting down negotiating the potential points of healthcare reform, what would you suggest in order to broaden this access?
Well, there are different ways to skin the cat. I mean, we've been successful in getting 48, 49 of the 50 states to pass laws that mandate if you offer health insurance, it must cover mammography at age-appropriate times. That's not the best way to do it, but that's one way to do it. But we think a better way to do it would be to get around a table and say, you know, what is the kind of quality care that really will change the level of public health in this nation? What do people need, and how can we make sure that any health insurance they have, whether it's a government health insurance through Medicare or whether it's private health insurance, covers the kinds of things that can keep people healthy the longest period of time? It's the only hope for this nation as we look way down the road, because it's an aging population. And so there's no question but what more and more people are going to have chronic diseases. If you develop a chronic disease and manage it well, it's a whole different scenario than if you don't. In this country, we don't do a good job of that, and we have to change the healthcare system to accommodate the growing population that's older with chronic diseases.
And in working with states, you all advocate on behalf of health insurance requirements. But there are some people who would say that that's one of the reasons why insurance coverage and then perhaps treatment as well is so expensive. So how do you find a middle ground on requirements that would actually get people the care that they needed, but then also not driving up costs?
I think there has to be a candid adult discussion about rational care and how the current money is being spent that's in the system, because there is a tremendous amount of money in the system now that could be spent better. And then on the heels of that, we have to talk about prevention and health promotion. The very things that most health insurance plans don't pay for are the things that are relatively inexpensive and highly, highly, highly effective. So if we can turn on those issues, and there's no reason that we can't, then we can get away from, as you test by test state mandate. But there needs to be a rational discussion about what does a basic health care plan need to look like that's in the best interest of all American citizens. I mean, we haven't yet leveraged our strengths, which is that we are a country where well over 90% of all people are born healthy, and then something goes wrong. We now have the knowledge of knowing how to keep healthy people healthy for a normal human lifespan, but we have to make sure that our health care system offers that and gives people access to that knowledge and to those technologies.
Now, the society is looking at this through what they call the cancer lens. Mm-hmm. But can you talk about how making improvements for people with cancer will actually improve the system overall for everyone?
Yes, I certainly can. We were the first organization ever in the history of the voluntary health organization movement, disease-specific societies, to step beyond just the cancer piece and say, we call for access to quality health care for everyone. The reason for that is that we did careful studies and found out that there are three major things that have to happen for us to bring cancer under control as a major public health problem early in this new century. And of those three, one, access to quality care was the only one that can keep us from ever getting there. So we said, let's go to the American public and show them the broken healthcare system through the cancer lens. So real people, not actors and actresses, but people who called our call center who had cancer and didn't have coverage, we recorded it and shared it with the American public. And everyone who sees it says, that's not right. If you have a cancer diagnosis, you should be able to get the care you need. We hope that then when that's fixed, a rising tide raises all ships, it will improve the outlook for not just cancer, but for heart disease, diabetes, and many other diseases.
Now, just last week, you all launched the Fight Back Express Bus. Can you talk about that, what the campaign is, what you all have learned from it so far, and what you hope to achieve?
Absolutely, Jill. The Fight Back Express Bus was launched just a week ago in Cleveland, Ohio. We'll go 25,000 miles. We'll visit all 48 of the lower contiguous states before Election Day. And community events are being held as I speak and every day hereafter. And the notion is to inform people that we can save more lives from cancer than ever before. 500,000 people were saved over the last 15 years because people had access to things. But we can double and redouble that number if all people have access to quality health care. There's no reason in this country, arguably the richest country in the world, that we can't take the money in the system and deploy it in such a way that everybody has a chance of either not having cancer in the first instance, 60% of all cancer is preventable during a normal human lifespan, or detecting it early when it is most treatable and the outcome is the best. Cancer is potentially the most preventable and the most curable of the major life-threatening diseases facing Americans today, and we think the bus and our efforts will help change that potentiality into a reality for everyone.
Now, the bus, the end of the tour is going to be here in Washington, D.C. on Election Day, so looking forward to 2009, how hopeful are you that there is enough momentum for actual change in our healthcare system?
We're very optimistic. I think we certainly are not naive and don't take anything for granted, but we can see the excitement that's already been generated. We have good data after our paid media campaign that shows that people are really getting frustrated and are very, very worried for themselves and for their families. So we think that every serious candidate is going to need to stand up and speak out about what he or she would do about this problem. And then we're in a position, the American Cancer Society, with our new Cancer Action Network, a 501c4 organization, to remind them after elected what they said and hold them accountable.
Great. Well, Dr. John Seffrin, CEO of the American Cancer Society, thanks again for joining us on health08.org today.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.